whole family's here this morning. Amen. Boy, isn't that great? Not Mr. Burleson, all the boys here this morning. Amen. I know he's a proud mother. There's probably a lot of others there this morning. I have the whole family here. You don't know how thankful you ought to be. There's a lot of folks in here just give anything to have their family in church this morning. All righty. I guess everybody's done bought out in debt till this time next year. You know, it's really getting bad when you ain't got year before last paid for. You're getting in trouble then. It's time to... They say if your outgo exceeds your income, your upkeep will be your downfall. You know that? Have you ever heard? That's one old philosophy I learned years ago. Matthew chapter 2. Now, you've heard this story for 3 weeks now on different on the radio and stuff, but I want to use just a little bit different angle this morning and use the thought that's on our sign out there on the other side about these wise men. Now, Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. In the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Now I'll stop right there this morning. Notice the Bible says three things about these fellows. Well, that sticks out to me. Says they were wise men. They're smart fellas. You can be educated but not be wise. Education gives you knowledge. There's a lot of difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is just a bunch of stored up facts. A computer has knowledge. A computer has no wisdom. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. Wisdom is knowing how to use knowledge. So, if you have your choice between wisdom and knowledge, always take wisdom. Hopefully, both. But I know some people that have a lot of wisdom, don't have a whole lot of knowledge, and I've met some that have a lot of knowledge that ain't got much sense. And we put it like this. We put it like, he's educated, but don't have no what? Common sense or horse sense. I don't know if you got to start calling it horse sense. But if you got to take your pick between the two, then take wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. So the Bible calls these fellows wise. And they were wise because they had come to find the Lord. And they had come to seek the Lord. And they realized that He should be worshipped. I like that song that says, "Oh come, let us adore Him. Oh come, let us adore Him." When we meet in here on Sunday mornings, one of the main purposes of us being here is to adore the Lord Jesus Christ. Not to see me or for me to see you or to hear the singing, but to adore Him. Oh come, let us adore Him. Now this morning, I'd like for you to think about something. Now y'all help me now. You're going to help me here for a minute. Help me out. We'll get it real quiet. Then I'll bring you the message. Everybody in the world has an empty spot on the inside of them. Since Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, the human race fell. The human race fell, sin got in, and therefore everybody been born since then except Jesus had an empty spot inside of them. Now, people are constantly engaged nowadays in filling up that empty spot. A constant theme of the hippie generation of the 1960s was, "I just feel empty inside." You still hear it nowadays. People just feel like, "My life is not fulfilled. I don't have any goals to accomplish. I have no reason for living. There's something missing in my life." And I believe this morning that God knew exactly what He was doing when in John chapter 6, the Lord said, "I am the bread that comes down out of heaven. He that eateth of this bread shall never hunger." The Lord Jesus Christ became bread for our soul. Nobody will ever be satisfied until Jesus Christ is inside your heart. You will never, ever, ever be happy. You may have a lot. You may have a lot of possessions. You may have a lot of things. But you will never actually be content until Jesus Christ is in your heart. Are you listening to me? You may be here this morning, and this may be the first time you've ever heard anybody talk like I'm going to talk. But what I've got to say this morning, the Lord wants you to hear. You are not here by accident. You are here by divine appointment. God has allowed you to come to this church this morning to hear what I've got to tell you. Jesus is able to fill up an empty spot on the inside. I got to thinking about this. I thought about all the things that people use to try to fill up that empty spot. If you'll notice, every Hollywood movie star, every professional athlete, every professional musician, every professional artist is constantly trying to get something or to have something that'll satisfy them. They say the greatest thing in life is to be happy. The only way to be happy is to be satisfied. Alright, we got it figured out. Problem is, how do you ever get satisfied? Now, I've got the answer for you this morning. Most people today, they think that money is the answer to every problem. Have you noticed that nowadays? It seems like the God of America is money. Most people will do anything just to get more money. They say that a man who thinks money will do anything for money. And that's probably true. But I'll tell you one thing. A man who spends his life trying to get money will be disappointed whether he gets it or not. Let me say that again. A man who spends his life trying to get money will be disappointed whether he gets it or not. If you do get it, it'll disappoint you because it doesn't do what it would do. If you don't get it, you're disappointed because you think, well, if I'd have got it, I'd have been happy. But have you ever noticed people who get a lot of money? They never do really seem happy. They say money talks, you know. And in a lot of places, I guess it does. Mine talks. It says bye-bye as soon as I get a hold of it. But you'll notice that most people, as soon as they get a hold of money, they think... Now, I've heard people say, boy, if I just had $100,000, and soon they get that $100,000, you know what they want then? You got it. You got it. You know what a millionaire wants when he gets $1 million? He wants another million. Because the government gets part of that, and taxes get part of that, and the relatives are fighting over the rest of it. And everybody's trying to hoodoo him, and he buys him a yacht, and buys a condominium, and buys him a home up in the mountains, and buys him a home over there. He said, if I had another million, I could enjoy what I bought with this first million. And then he takes that second million, and then he wants him some CDs, and this and that, and invest it here, and invest it there. And then you got a bunch of people always playing up to you, and you don't never know if they're your friends, or they're like, that's a good thing about being poor, man. We got our friends, and they are genuine friends. I mean, they love us. But I'll tell you this morning, friends, that money will not satisfy. It has a way of getting a hold of you, but not satisfying you. Now, I want to make a statement this morning, and you can believe it or not. You can believe it and find out the easy way, or go on in life and find out the hard way. Money can't buy love or happiness. Money cannot buy love. It cannot buy happiness. I met a case not long ago where a doctor had made plenty of money, and his wife ran off and left him. And they said, I thought, well, why in the world would she do a crazy thing like that? Here's a man that was well off. He could give her anything she wanted. And you know what that girl will say if you talk to her? She'll say, money's not the most important thing. He could buy me a diamond ring. He could buy me this. He could buy me that. But I wasn't happy. I know what some of you are thinking. I think, boy, I'd be happy if I had her to buy me a diamond ring. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. You would. You just think you would. Boy, if I had what she's got and I had that big, nice house, now, I'd be the happiest person in the world. No, you wouldn't. Because money can't bring you happiness. You say, diamonds are my friend, and diamonds ain't going to make you happy. Little rock, you don't even know if it's real. I mean, it probably is, but you wouldn't know if it wasn't. Somebody didn't tell you. Man that sets his heart on money is in trouble. Let me get a little history and I'll move on. In 1923, the greatest financial tycoons the world ever heard of met in Chicago. These were young people's idols in Chicago in the 1920s. They all wanted to grow up and be like. Charles Schwab was the president of a steel company. Richard Whitney was president at that time of the New York Stock Exchange. Albert Paul was the president of the president's cabinet. Jesse Moore was a big man on Wall Street. Leon Frazier was a bank president. Ivan Kruger was there with them, and these men met and discussed their finances and their wealth. Richest men in the world at that time, nearly. As we look back and see what happened to those men, let me give you what happened to them. Charles Schwab, the president of the steel company, died broke. Richard Whitney, the president of the New York Stock Exchange, wound up in Sing Sing prison. Albert Paul of the president's cabinet wound up in prison. Jesse Livermore, off of Wall Street, committed suicide. Leon Frazier, the president of the bank, committed suicide. Ivor Kruger committed suicide. And nearly about half of those men took a gun or a pill and took their own life. You know what they were saying? They were saying, we don't even care to live anymore. We have nothing to live for. They had hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars in the bank, and yet we're not happy. I've been up in the mountains, and I've sat down at some little country home. There'd be a lady come out of that kitchen, have an apple pie, and set that thing down on the stove, and the husband would come in from his work. They'd sit down and say, here, preacher, we fixed you a meal. All the kids would come in, bring their husbands and wives, the grandkids. They would laugh. They would cut up. They had peace in the home. They had happiness. They've had joy. And I got to thinking, those people in Hollywood would pay $1 million to be as happy as some of the mountain people do up in Spruce Pine and Burnsville that don't have $50 to their name. You know why? Money can't buy you happiness. Money can't satisfy you. If you had $1 million this morning, you'd want something else. You wouldn't be happy. You see, God put an empty spot inside you, friend, and it can't never be satisfied. It's just like a certain bolt or a screw or a peg. And God made the Lord Jesus Christ to fit that hole, and you'll never be happy until the Lord's in your life like He ought to be. The reason some of you people here this morning is living a miserable life is because you just give me, want this, I want that, I want this, I don't like her, I don't like this, I don't like that. You're a miserable soul. You've never come and surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way you'll ever really be happy. Not only that, some people think getting involved in things will make them happy. Trips, hobbies, pastimes. I've heard people say, well, I'm going to take up golf. I think I'm going to start pitching horseshoes. I think I'm going to... Nothing wrong with all those things, but they won't make you happy. No, they won't. You say, but if I can hit one of them golf balls and make $2 million like some of them fellas, it would. Not long. Not long. You know how I know that? Because so many of those people commit suicide and leave notes behind and say, I had nothing to live for. And I also noticed it because I pick up hitchhikers. You'd be surprised what you can learn by picking up hitchhikers. It'd be the last thing you learn. But you can learn a lot. Well, like that one fella. Come here up just a little bit on this, brother. Like that one fella I heard, he died. Something wrong. And he died. And he went up to heaven. He went in. And they said, well, am I going to get in? They said, yeah, you're going to get in, but before you get in, you tell me one good thing you ever done. Name one thing good you ever done in your life. He said, I can name one. They said, what? We ain't heard about it. And he said, there were some Hell's Angels going to beat this old woman, and I kicked their motorcycles over and let the air out of their tires. He said, really? When did you do that? He said, about 2 minutes ago. So... That's the last good thing he ever done. But picking up hitchhikers is like that. You know what I've done? I've been on my way to Asheville. There's that old fella there with his hands. And I don't always do it, but if I feel the nudge from the Lord, I do it. You say, ain't you scared? Yeah, I'm more scared not to do what the Lord tells me to do. And so the Lord nudges me over, and I pick him up, and I say, how's it going? He said, we're good. I said, where you headed? I'm going to California, man. Go out there where the good stuff grows. Out there, you know, and get on the beach, get me a beach house, you know, and help me Rhonda and all that stuff. I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna go out there and tire these old hicks here in North Carolina, old crazy mountain people, don't know what life's all about. I'm going out there. back, pick up another hitchhiker. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Where you from?
California.
Where you headed?
Going to the mountains, man. Get back to nature.
Rat race out there.
People crazy. And I'm like old, I'm Solomon. I fought and I observed under the sun. And I said, when I go to Florida, it says, go to the mountains, ski beach, seven devils, boom, North Carolina. See, when you come up here, see sunny Florida. You know, I'm thinking, now, wait a minute here.
All the states, people think, if I was over there, I'd be happy. And when you're over there, if I was over there, I'd be happy. And when you get this, if I had this, I'd be happy. If I had this car, if I had this. Don't it dawn on you sooner or later that you ain't getting what you thought you was going to get? Don't it dawn on you something deep down inside that there's an inner thirst and a hunger and a cry for something greater that the world can't give? I found out what it is. I found out when I was 18 years old at Nebo Baptist Church, I cashed in, man. I found out, you think, oh, you're just an old hillbilly. You don't know what you're talking about. Nope, I'm an old hillbilly, and I do know what I'm talking about. You got it high right. I do know where happiness is. I do know where joy is. I do know where there's a fountain that you can receive from and drink from and eat from that you'll never have to thirst for anything to satisfy you again. Education ain't going to do it. Education's one of the gods of America. People say, well, I'm going to school, I'm going to get this degree and that degree. Nothing wrong with that, but it ain't going to satisfy you. Education without salvation is damnation. Knowledge puffeth up, the Bible said. You can learn a bunch of stuff and be... Listen, you know what education has done for America? I'm not against it. You ought to get all you can, the right kind. But all it's done is teach us new inventions to sin with. It don't satisfy. It does not satisfy. Then there's alcohol. 10 million alcoholics in the United States. Some people feel like their only friend they got's in the bottle. They say, one old fellow said, I'm not really an alcoholic. I can take it or leave it. The man that says that'll take it every chance he gets. I don't really depend on it, but I drink it every day. Yeah, and what kind of mood you in if you don't get it? That's the way you can tell if you're an alcoholic. I'm telling you this morning, satisfaction is not in a bottle. It's not in drugs. Let me tell you something about drugs, young people. Drugs temporarily give you a satisfying high and make you forget your problems, but drugs are like a grasshopper. You can jump away up, but you always got to come back down. And when you come down, your problems is there waiting on you. Same old ugly self you see in the mirror. Same old burden. Same old sins to deal with, except a lot more of the ones you committed you don't even know you done while you was drunk or high. Drugs will never satisfy one thing. They say that there are 5,000 new cocaine triers every day. Somebody experiments with cocaine. 5,000 people a day try it for the first time. You heard about the new drug they call ice that is so many times more potent and powerful. It looks like rock candy. And it's a derivative of some kind of cocaine, in fact, that will just zap you out of your brain for days, not hours, days. There's no limit. Man keeps developing stronger and stronger drugs where people are looking for that ultimate high. And they think, boy, if I could just get that ultimate high and take that, you know, like Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds or my yellow submarine or get a little help from my friends, stuff that the Beatles used to sing about. Ringo Starr admitted not long ago that he drank something like 16 bottles of wine a day. He's an alcoholic and needs help. The other singers, movie stars, athletes that try to find help and appeal, let me tell you, it's not there. It's not there. You know what? Heard about one fella. He said, boy, when I first time I tried cocaine, he said, I felt like a new man. But the problem was, the first thing the man wanted was another dose of cocaine. See? You know what I mean? Yeah. Now I want another one. Then another one. Then another one. Then another one. And it takes more and more. And the devil forgets to tell you where you're going to get all that money. So you wind up in prostitution, or you wind up stealing, or you wind up dealing to support your habit.
And then one day, at a courtroom somewhere, sitting on a judge's bench, it dawns on you, my God, how did I get to mess? My God, how did I get fall so low? And the devil takes you back and says, yeah, you remember? And the Lord says, you thought that stuff would satisfy you, but it won't. What about relationships? The big now is relationships. They don't even call it, I don't even know if they call it going steady now. Or they say, I'm having a relationship. Lord only knows what that means nowadays. That could mean anything from have a cup of coffee to shacking up. And said, I'm involved with in a new relationship and so-and-so's relationship. They don't even bother to get married anymore. What's the trouble? They say in Hollywood now that a marriage is considered a success if the couple leave the church together. One little kid out there got an award at PTA for having the most parents present. But I tell you what, brother, relationships are not going to say, some of y'all got a sour look on your face. You got a sour look on your face. You know, you can tell a lot about a person by what they think's funny. You've been hanging out with the wrong crowd. Bad company, it'll mess you up like that. Ruin your sense of humor. But I'm telling you this morning, friend, relationship will not satisfy you. I can prove that. That can be proved easily by country music. See? You're gagging now. You're the most beautiful.
You're the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
See? I'm in love. It's never been this way before. About 6 months later, they come out with a song. It ain't what I thought it was. Yeah. Hey, Liz Taylor's went through 7 of them, brother. And no telling how many, you know, others that wasn't legal. And then other people there, they're all in this new relationship. Have you seen Ryan and Farrah? And this and that. This one and this group and that group. And what's Don Johnson and his wife? And Michael Jordan got a baby and just got married the other day. And you know what they call that? They call it relationship. They won't satisfy you. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you girls something. If the man of your dreams walked in that door right over there and said, God has sent me here to sweep you off your feet. I'm madly in love with you. Fly away with me. You'd say, oh, I'd never be unhappy again. I give you 2 months if you ain't got the Lord. I hate to say that. That ruins your Cinderella complex and all that stuff. And you girls think that man can satisfy you? There's something down inside you that no man can satisfy, that no group of men can satisfy, that no money can satisfy. I believe this, that we've all got something down in there that only God can satisfy. And what's wrong with people's marriages nowadays? They expect their husband and wife to do what only God can do. If you'd let the Lord satisfy you, you wouldn't have near as many problems with your husband or wife as you think you do. Your problem's with God. It's not with your husband or your wife. It's with God. Let the Lord satisfy you. Get that book down in the morning. Get you some of the bread of life. Say, dear Lord, fill me up. You'd be surprised how much better that job or that husband or that boy or that girl would feel then. Truth is, you're trying to fill up that empty spot that the Lord made for him with other things. Wise men still seek him. Then there's religion. Religion's about the most pitiful in the world, I reckon. Lord have mercy, I'd hate to be a religious person without the Lord. Can you imagine? I'm not trying to be smart or hateful this morning, but you think about all the people this morning that are sitting somewhere in a building. Holy, 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 amen, 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 all that jazz. Like you're in a trance or something. And don't mean a word of it. Dress like you're going trick-or-treating. Really? I mean, and God! And all the things, a golf course, or what's going to do after a while, or something like that. You know what that is? That's religion. I'm not here. You know why you feel something different here this morning? Because I'm not pushing a religion. I ain't asking nobody to join this church. I'm not trying to make a Baptist out of you. I'm telling you this morning, there's a God in heaven, and the only way you're ever going to be happy is be satisfied with Him. I'm not interested in getting church members. I'm not interested in your money. I'm not interested in it. Brother, you just do whatever you want to do with it. I'm just telling you what God's called me to do, and that is you'll never be satisfied until things are right between you and God, and you can run from here to China and back, and you'll never find happiness. And one of these days, you're going to remember me telling you this. as a boy called me up one night in the middle of the night, Colette from San Francisco in a bar. And I was about half asleep, and he started talking to me, and he was drunk. And he had AIDS. And he'd heard me preach up there in the old building. And he called me up, and he said, Danny, he said, all I can see when I close my eyes, I don't know if he had AIDS at that time or not, but he got it later and died. He said, all I can see is you standing up there pointing your finger, saying, get saved, get saved. And I thought, man, there's that boy out there in San Francisco in a bar. And he's thinking about this little place in Marion and me standing up there pointing my finger saying, get saved, get saved. You know what? You'll never get away from this. You'll never get it. You can stomp out of here this morning and say, he's crazy. I'll never go back and hear him preach. I don't like him. But you'll never get away from what I'm saying this morning. You'll never, ever, ever find peace in your heart till you get right with God. You say, well, preacher, I just ain't ready yet. Okay. It's free country. You can do what you want to. Just remember, every day you wait, you're taking a chance. I thought about that poor old fella. Old Noriego, whatever his name is. Sound like SpaghettiOs or something. And I thought, he's pitiful. When they seized his apartment, I don't know if they've seized him yet or not. Last I heard they hadn't. But did you hear what they found in his apartment? He had every one of these things that I've named off to you this morning trying to be happy. In his apartment, they found $6 million in cash. They found a large supply of cocaine. They found a good supply of pornography. That's the dumbest thing a man ever done, trying to be satisfied, is look at pornography. How dumb can you get? That ain't going to satisfy you. That's just going to make you want a bunch of stuff that you can't have. That's ignorance. And they found a bunch of antiques, a picture of Hitler, and a bucket or something of blood for his religious uses. They kind of got away from that on the news. I know one newscaster told it, but then the rest of them, they cut in on them right before they said that blood, because he's in voodoo. And I thought, there's a man who thought he'd find happiness in money, drugs, sex, power, religion, and he ain't happy. Anybody in here want to trade places with him right now? He wasn't happy before he lost his throne. Jesus said, I'm the bread that come down out of heaven. If a man eat of this bread, he'll never... Let me tell you something, friend. You've got an empty spot inside you that only Jesus Christ can fill. And you may not agree with me this morning, and you may not like it, but later on down years to come in this life, if the Lord don't come first, it's going to dawn on you sooner or later that no boyfriend, no girlfriend, no relationship, no affair with another man or another woman or getting rich or having drugs. It's not going to do it. It's not going to do it. Only Jesus can satisfy. Wise men still seek Him. Let's stand and bow our heads. All right, I didn't bow, never eye closed. We're going to sing. And I want to ask you to bow your heads with me just a moment out of reverence and to God. Just bow your head and close your eyes. And I want to ask you to think about what you've heard for the last hour. The singing and the preaching. And then I want to ask you this question. Deep, deep down inside your heart, do you know for a fact that you're a Christian? Do you know where you'd go if you died today? I'm telling you, He can satisfy you. If you don't know where you're going if you died today, why don't you let the Lord save you? God, help these here this morning that are hunting happiness and other things to realize that the wise men came when they saw your star and they come and worship the baby. And Lord, we know that that's the only thing it'll still satisfy even us, hey.
is seeking you. Dear Lord, bring it to pass in our lives that we may honor you and love you and serve you. I pray for that man, that woman who may be here this morning who's never ever been saved. Dear God, help them to do this lady did in the other night, to trust you with all her heart. Help them to do like these other men have done during the past few months. Help them to come to you. And then, Lord, I pray for that one that's a Christian. Jesus' sake. In His name we pray. Amen. Now we're going to sing this morning. We've already got some come to the altar and pray. If deep down in your heart you want the Lord to satisfy you on this Christmas Eve, I can't think of a better time to get right with God than on Christmas Eve morning. And if the Lord's dealing with you while these are praying, is there an empty spot down in... Why don't you just get on out of your seat? Come on down here and let's settle it. There's nobody here but us and the Lord and the devil. Why don't you just settle it this morning? Before it's too late. Would you do that? While we sing, just get out of your seat and come right now. Amen. Come on. Come on right now.
As I am without Amen. One plea.
You know what you ought to do.
Thy blood
you know what you ought to do.
Was shed for me. And that thou
you know what you ought to do this morning. Only Jesus
to thee, Lamb,
can satisfy you.
Of God I come.
Amen.
I come.
All right, I want to ask you to bow your heads with me again one more time, just briefly, and we're going to let you go. If you don't care, out of reverence to God, just bow your head and close your eyes. I want to ask you a question this morning. If you're here this morning and you say, Preacher, I'm not satisfied. I know deep down in my heart, I know things ain't right between me and God. And I want you to pray for me this morning. Please pray for me. Would you just slip up your hand this morning and take it right back down? Let us pray for you. Amen. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. Anyone else? Anyone else? See, nothing else will satisfy. God bless you, ma'am. I see your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Is there another? We're not going to embarrass you. Nobody's going to come to you or anything like that. We're just going to pray. That's all. Just between me and you. Anyone else? Anyone else right quick? All right, we're going to pray. Dear Lord, you know the need of these hearts who's lifted their hands this morning. And God, the fact that they realize their need is a good sign you're dealing with them. Now, Lord, help them to respond. Help them do something about it. I pray you would. Dear God, do it for Jesus' sake. Help them not to live out another day without somewhere, someplace, finding a place and seeking it out, seeking you with all of their hearts. Lord, we love you this morning. We're glad that you can satisfy our soul. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, help us to do right in these last days. Be a blessing to others. We'll praise you. We'll thank you. And glorify you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.